With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It is Monday, March 25th, and we are here trying to help you make better financial decisions or maybe just talk through whatever's going on in your life. If you've got something that's looming, perhaps, give us a holler. Go to JillOnMoney.com, click the Contact Us button, write your note, and do let us know if you would be willing to come on the air live with us. Now, while you're on the website, check out all the free stuff that lives there, the free weekly newsletter, the blog, and the other audio shows, the podcast, the radio show, also videos, the resources section. There's so much that's going on. Mark is so busy. I'm trying to convince Mark to offload some of his work. Mark, did you send a note to that person who said that that they were available to help offload some of your work?
No, not yet. Not yet. But I do have a screenshot of the info.
Okay. So there you go. Mark is trying. We're trying to help Mark skinny down his life in terms of reducing the number of things he has to do. Why? Because when we were conducting our fantastic webinar with Cal Newport, this was sort of one of the key issues that he identified as a way that you can become more productive. In other words, don't say yes to everything. Take some dedicated time to do the things you want to do and be clear that, you know what? You got to really be into the quality of the stuff you do. The problem that I think Mark has is he's so good at everything that even when he's overwhelmed, he's good at it all. So that is annoying quality of someone as talented as Mark, but I do think I'm sort of driving him crazy. So by the way, if you want to check out that Cal Newport webinar, it was really engaging. You must be a subscriber to Jill on Money Live. That's where you have access to quarterly live webinars, just like the one we did with Cal Newport, more bonus video content. You can look at last year's webinars. You can do so much stuff there. And it's all for $35. So today we are talking to Natalie, who's on the line from Texas. Hi, Natalie. How are you? And what can we do for you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. So back in 2020, my teacher husband was ready to call it quits, but I didn't think that we could afford for him as the sole breadwinner to retire. So we agreed to meet with a financial advisor to get an impartial opinion. This was the last week of February 2020 when all hell was about to break loose, thanks to COVID. And then my dad died the next week, and we just simply didn't maintain a relationship with this person, even though we really liked her. Mm-hmm. But our two-hour free consult was pretty in-depth, and she said that my husband could retire if, until we turned 65, he worked a part-time job that brought in about $1,500 a month. I was skeptical for a variety of reasons, mainly because we truly never like had a budget during our entire marriage. And I didn't think the information we provided her was particularly accurate. But based in part on her numbers, my husband did retire a year later in May 2021 and eventually began working two part-time jobs that he still has today. Hmm. So fast forward to today, and we have a much better handle on things. We're working hard on tracking our spending. We started using a budgeting app last fall, and the two part-time jobs are bringing in more than the $1,500 a month. Things seem good, but when we met with this financial advisor, she gave us a thumb drive with like three different scenarios. And now when we go back and look at the numbers, they just don't make sense. And she's appeared to have left the practice, her company. And so she's not really a resource for information. And I feel like our financial situation's pretty simple enough. We probably wouldn't have hired her to maintain her anyway. But I'd love to hear if what she told us, the main thing that sticks out in my head is that we would never have to touch my 401k, whether that's really accurate. Because sometimes I look at the numbers and totally see it. And then sometimes I listen to y'all and hear about all these people with so much more money. And it's like, how can this possibly be true?
All right. First of all, forget about the other people. I don't care about them. I care about you. You are with us today. And everybody listening, I don't care how much anyone else has. If you come on with us, we care about what your situation is. So a few questions. Natalie, how old are you and your husband right now?
We're both 61. Okay. And he is drawing a monthly pension of about $2,900. And his two part-time jobs are bringing in, on average, about $2,000 a month. It really varies month to month because during the summer, one of his part-time jobs is to he's gone back to tutor at a much higher salary at his school. And so during the summer months, you know, that money's not coming in, but it averages more than $2,000 a month.
So there's pension of $2,900. Mm-hmm. There's part-time income that nets $2,000. Out of the $2,900, does he get health insurance, or are you still working and that's where you get your health insurance?
No, it's just him, and our insurance is coming out of that. It's about almost $800. Well, about $700.
Okay. Yeah. $700 a month. And so
net $2,200 on the pension.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. That's good. And you are working or not working right now?
I'm not working.
Okay. What do you think your expenses are running on an annual basis?
Monthly. So we've been tracking really solidly since September. And so what we think it's about $4,500 to $5,000 a month. So we're really close to that break-even point right now.
But are you dipping into your savings to fund a different, like if you took a big trip and you wanted to pay for that, you know, obviously you've got more like $4,200. So do you dip into a savings account to fund the bigger stuff?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And we set, before he retired, you know, we had set money aside, like we just replaced the roof last year. We know we're going to need a new HVAC, that kind of thing. So we have money sitting in savings / a brokerage account to, you know, help fund some of that.
Tell me about that savings account. How much is in there?
So right now, my 401k, what I had when I was working, is rolled over into an IRA, and this is all in Vanguard, and there's about $500,000 in that, and then we started doing Roth IRA conversions, and so there's about $82,000 in a Roth IRA, and then my husband has a separate Roth that's $38,000. We have a brokerage account of $51,000, an I-bond of $11,000, and then about $35,000 in the bank.
Okay. So did your husband, in addition to the pension, have some sort of deferred compensation as well?
No.
Okay. So his retirement is the pension. You have this $500,000 in your IRA. You've got the Roth IRA 82, his Roth IRA 38. You've got 35 in savings, 51 in brokerage, a little I bond over there on the side. In your savings right now, that 35, is that earmarked for something? In other words, you said, oh, I know we have to do this, that, and the other thing, but is that part of your savings or is that part of the brokerage right now?
The earmarked money is part of the brokerage.
Okay, got it. All right. So of the brokerage, how much is really available, would you say? You know, meaning that's not been spoken for?
Probably about $20,000.
Okay. Because I'm just going to say, I'm not going to say $51,000. I'm just going to say $20,000 then. So for my purposes.
Okay.
Good. Now, that's great. How about your house? Do you own a home or do you rent?
We own. It's worth about $550,000, I'd say probably conservatively. I mean, it's paid off.
Oh.
And we have no other debt. We have two cars, but they're kind of old. Mm. I mean, more than 10 years. And so they're going to have to be replaced eventually. We've got two adult kids who are awesome. They're fully launched. But sometimes we do give them some financial gifts like to help with little things here and there.
Because you know why? You're a parent of a certain generation. You can't help yourself.
Yeah. And one driver of our finances is that we'd love to leave them this house and a good little nest egg, which is one reason that the words, you know, you'll never have to touch your 401k sounded so appealing to me.
I get it. I'm not worried about that because they're launched and they seem like you've already done that good job. Did you guys file your taxes yet for last year?
Yes.
Okay. Are you due a refund or did you kind of play this out the right way and sort of net neutral?
No, we ended up having to pay because we did a rollover.
Aha, gotcha.
The Roth conversion.
So in the Roth conversion, what tax bracket did you end up in? Because you don't have you have income because you have the pension, you have the part-time. Did you convert enough to stay in the 12% or did you pop into 22%?
I worked it to where I stayed on the 12%.
Okay.
With about $500 of wiggle room. I guess I should say one other thing that that down the line, I mean, that's where we kind of are right now. Mm-hmm. But down the line, I mean, actually right now, I could afford to take, I could take a pension. I have a small pension.
Oh.
Previous employer that, you know, if I were to take it right now, mm-hmm. I'd get $628 a month if I don't do a joint survivor annuity. If I take it at 65, I get $785. If I just found out recently, like last month, that I don't even have to take it at 65. I could let it just sit there and grow until 72.
Yeah.
And then it would be worth $1,635.
What? Yeah, wait a minute. That sounds a little too good to be true. That is huge.
I know. I know.
Wow.
My old private employer, they've always been really good to employees. Mm-hmm. That, like, back when I worked there, the benefits were great and all. There's a part of me that's like super nervous they're going to go under.
Listen, that's a real risk when you have a small company. Okay. I want to get back to that in a second. Can we talk a little bit about Social Security for you guys? So your husband, what does Social Security look like for him?
So we are hoping to wait until 70 to take his, and then it would be 2721.
Do you have enough on your record to claim your own, or would you take half of his?
No, I definitely have enough to claim my own. And kind of the plan we're looking at right now is maybe once he quits his jobs at 65, that's when I would start taking my Social Security. If I took it at 65, that would be 1545. So that would be replacing that lost income.
What is your 67 at full retirement age?
1783.
1783. And what's your age 70?
2211. If I were to take my pension at 72, his pension already is here. His Social Security at 70.
Yeah, you're living large.
Yeah, we're making more than $100,000 a year, which would more. That's more than we ever made when we were working. We, you know, a teacher, and I didn't get paid a lot either. So,
but that's amazing, right?
Down the line, we're okay.
Yeah, I get you. So, what we're really talking about now, I know you keep saying 65, but I'm just going to keep talking about 67. There are certain advantages to claiming at full retirement age, and they're not just monetary, but I just, because it gives you some flexibility about some other stuff. But so if I looked at the next 6 years, okay, can he, instead of two part-time jobs, okay, if he were, can he, does he, is he feel stressed out by having two, or does he, is he fine?
No, he, I mean, in one way, he'd love to get rid of the tutoring job, but that money's pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
And the other job is just a job for the soul. It is not bringing in a lot of money, but he just really enjoys it. He doesn't want to give that one up either. So,
okay. But could he do less tutoring?
Maybe he could. We'll have to ask. You know, the deal is once you retire from the state, you know, how the state.
How much? It's like how much can you actually do? Right.
But
if he could, this is what I'm sort of thinking.
Okay.
I'm going to take this to your age 67. Okay. So, or you're both age 67. So we've 6 more years. And if you just reduce the amount, let's say he had $1,500 a month that he was making net. All right.
Okay.
So now instead of 2000 net, you have 1500 net, and then you have your 2200 net. And, you know, we have 3,700 of your $5,000 a month that you need. Right. Mm-hmm. So the question is, where do we draw the extra money so that you can afford to do whatever you want to do? I think the idea that I have is instead of converting to a Roth, which I know you're happy, everybody loves that, but I'm wondering if it might be smarter right this minute to use the IRA account and pull some of the money out. Just use it to live on. You're going to get a tax. It's going to be the same thing. Stay within the 12% tax bracket, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't convert it. Don't convert the money yet. Just keep it as the money you live on to bridge the gap between your current income and the $5,000, right? You need $1,300 a month. So let's say that you live in a low tax state. So maybe if you took out $1,800 a month, or you took out 20 grand from your retirement account for each year of the next 6 years, that's a good thing because you're reducing your future required minimum distribution, right? And you're living on it and you're paying it at the 12% bracket. Because by the way, your tax bracket, you're right, your tax bracket could potentially rise. It's kind of crazy when you think about that, just because you're going to have a lot of income. And then at 67 or 70, whatever we decide, he takes his money. Listen, I'm inclined to wait till 72, but I guess the thing about the old company pension is you have to find out from someone on the inside if this if the pension is funded. I think they have to report that. You're part of the pension plan. Are you friends with people there still?
Well, I mean, it's really, you said a small company. It's not a small company. It is a private company. And no, it's based out of another state. Mm-hmm. So,
but it's a private company. And do you know anyone who's still there?
Not at the, you know, HR.
Not the level that you would be able to do it.
Right. Now, I will say this about holding off on the pension. The other reason why I'm very, I really want to hold off on it is because if I were to get hit by a bus tomorrow, they assume that I would have done a joint survivor annuity. And I had no plans to do a joint survivor annuity.
Oh.
Structured it was that, you know, he's going to get my nice 401k monies when I die, and I'm going to get his nice pension money when he dies.
I got you.
I was always going to take it just 100% me. Mm-hmm. But if I were to get my bus today or any time before I start taking that pension, they assume that I would have done a 50%. So then he would be set up with 50% of what I'd be getting at that point.
Oh, okay. I'm going to presume, because you said it's a good company, it takes care of its people and it's private. And you know, look, these pensions, it's, unless they're going to go broke. And if you, you know, you work there for some time, it may be worth rolling the dice to get the pension. This is what I think. I think this is doable. Here's what, I think he can take his Social Security at 67. You should pull the money out from your retirement account to just live on, pay the tax, stay in the 12% bracket, fund the gap, okay? Do stop converting, because I don't want you to soak up all your liquidity. You need money. You need stuff, right? You need to buy, you're going to need a car or two. You're going to need, we need that money. And I know you have the money in a Roth, but I already have a sneaking suspicion that you are the kind of people that would be very sad to invade that Roth because you would like to give that to your kids. I get it. For the kids, by the way, it's great to inherit a Roth asset. So if your kids, if what they got was your house and your Roth accounts and you never touched your Roth accounts, never, that'd be an awesome payoff. You're going to have to pull money out of your 401k eventually, right? That's a required minimum distribution.
Correct.
I'm suggesting you take some of that money out now before that those two, three extra streams of income start, meaning pull the money out before two Social Security checks and your pension start. And I think that that's a better way to do it. If your husband, you know, I think that it doesn't really matter to me if he's like, I won't give up this tutoring, it's too much money. That's his choice. You don't need to have him working as much as he's working because you can use the 401k. So let's get back to your big question. You went to the financial advisor. She said your husband could retire if he worked part-time until age 65. She was right. The whole thing about never having to touch the 401k was not necessarily the wrong advice. I think the idea was if you wanted to absolutely preserve that account, you could, but then you would be dipping into the pension and Social Security early. And I don't think that financially that's the smartest decision for you guys. Because I think we have a chance to do what we call a tax arbitrage. We have a chance to get money out of your 401k that has not yet been taxed at the 12% bracket. And not many people have that as an option. So I think that's, so instead of converting that brings you to the tippy top of the 12%, I think you should just pull the money out that takes you to the top of the 12%. Keep it. Do not invest it. I'm worried about these cars and other stuff. Live on it. Have it. Make sure you're in a high yield savings account or maybe in the brokerage account for, I don't know, you, of the 30 grand you have that you know you're going to be spending, is that within the next year or do you think it's in the next couple of years?
probably in the next couple of years. I mean, I have set that money aside forever, and it's, and for so long it was sitting in my, you know, credit union earning nothing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, you know, I keep waiting for the HVAC to fall apart. I keep waiting to put the new flooring in and the things that need to happen. And it just hasn't happened. So it's like, you know what? I'm going to move it over there to this thing that's earning at least 5%, but it's still keeping me liquid.
Okay.
So
I would do the same thing. I really would. I would essentially take the same approach, just pulling the money out, living on it. If your husband really wants to, truly, if he wants to lighten up the load a little bit, then I think you have the ability to do it. And then at 67, I mean, honestly, even if it were just at 67, he's like, all right, I'm just going to do my fun job that I love that nurtures me. And we have his social security. You know what? Life's good. You got no problems. And then the required minimum distributions will not start for you. So you don't have to start pulling till 75. You can pull money out. We'll have to see where tax rates are, but I love that idea. Now you're reducing the amount of your minimum required distribution.
Right. Now I have one other question.
Do it.
And I don't know if this would change anything, but I've got a 90, next month she'll be 92-year-old mom with dementia living at home. The sibs and I are, you know, taking turns, taking care of her and such. But when she passes, chances are we'll come into just a little bit of money, like about $100,000.
Oh my God, that's a lot, not a little bit. That's a real number. Yeah.
Yeah. Real number, six figures.
Yes.
And then after we've got some family land, which I want to keep. So after I buy out this sibling, I'll probably end up with some land and $100,000. Mm-hmm. What would you do with that $100,000 if you were me?
If it hit your account this year or next year, I would then start to maybe consider using some of that money to convert. I would.
Okay.
The thing is, the reason why I'm saying no to the conversion right this second is because you don't have a lot of liquidity. You don't have that much money outside of retirement. But if I had the 100,000, then maybe I would say, okay, well, here's 10 grand of this that I can just set aside for my expenses this year and 10 next year and 10 next year. But I'll start converting money from my retirement account. Same idea, reducing the account value, converting it to a Roth, being more tax efficient. But until that were to happen, I don't think converting anymore makes a ton of sense. Okay. But that's your pot of money that can either fund your gap, right? And also fund the tax liability on the conversion. Now, 92-year-old, you got some good genes. So do you have your estate documents done?
We do. We did that the month after my dad died. We finally got on it. We had been without a will and these two kids, and it's just like, oh man, let's move on this.
Yeah. So I think you're in really good shape, and I think that doesn't sound like you actually need, like you said, it doesn't really sound like you need a financial advisor, but it sounds like this person did at least get yourselves focused on what your opportunities are, and I think that's the good news of having that conversation, tracking your expenses, all this stuff is good. You are in good shape. If there's anything else that we can do, you just let us know. Okay.
Thanks. I never would have thought of just starting to take the money out of the IRA. I mean, we're past the penalty phase, so why not?
Exactly.
We're just going over to try to make that Roth IRA bigger for our kids to eventually inherit it. Because you're right, we really don't want to touch anything.
I know. That's why I sort of want you to touch it. Believe me, please touch it.
We're some savers. We really want to learn to be better spenders, and it's like if we really have this money, then let's take the extra trip. Let's go to the more
exactly right. Spot. Exactly. No. Exactly. Right. So if there's anything else that you need from us, you let us know. But I think you're in very good shape. Enjoy yourself. Maybe you say to your husband, like, you don't have to say yes to every single tutoring job. And so let him off the hook a little bit. If you, like Natalie, have lots of different questions about when to take certain streams of income, like Social Security or a pension, and you want to weave it into a larger strategy on using the tax system to your advantage, give us a holler. Go to JillOnMoney.com, click the Contact Us button. Let us know if you'd like to come on the air live. While you're on the website, check out all of our content, including the free weekly newsletter, which Mark puts together and sends out every single Friday. And it's really very excellent. So that is that for today. If you would like to subscribe to us, you can do that on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. We would ask if you would please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen. Try to lift someone up. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.